This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Chris O'Brien is off on a Grand Canyon run, apparently. I am kind of afraid of heights, so I don't take Grand Canyon runs. But someday I might try it. You know, I'll take some kind of antidepressant or anti-anxiety pill and see if it works. Alejandro Rojas of Open Minds and the International UFO Conference is here.
Yes, I am.
With a freshly brewed cup of coffee.
Freshly brewed Keurig here, and I can confirm that that is correct. I am on the call.
Okay, and we also confirm on a landline, the one, the only, Walter Bosley. Now, Walter, we hope, would connect from his Skype account, but Skype doesn't like Walter.
It has its moments. We have a hot and cold relationship, Skype and I. But, you know, I'm the guy that writes about, you know, the breakaways from 100 years ago in the old days, so it's fitting that I'm on a landline.
And you're using an original Alexander Graham Bell phone now.
Yes, I am. And I record these shows on a wax cylinder. Somebody's going to have to explain that. I guess I could look it up online. It's more fun if, you know, somebody explains it. But I've never really read technically how that works, and I find it interesting. So I'm going to have to bone up on wax cylinder recordings because they're just so cool. But back to Skype, as I was telling you earlier, the issue that I have is it'll work great for seemingly the longest time. Like, my last run was a little over a year. It worked fine for me. And then suddenly it will not ever work. And it'll do that to me for however long. And then it'll start working again. And that's even when I'm updating and people are guiding through. It's just, it's this weird thing. That's been my experience with it.
One of the things Skype did recently was to come out with a Skype 8 for the Mac. It's a completely different interface, but rather than give you the choice of accepting it, they just threw it at you.
Oh, that's not good.
No, that's not cool. And there are things I cannot do with Skype 8 that I could do with Skype 7. So, for example, you're using a landline phone. Alejandro's using a regular Skype connection. Now, normally I could originate the phone conversation either way, then add somebody to a group.
Right.
But when I originate it from a landline phone or any phone connection, and it uses a special dial pad, for some reason it won't let me add a Skype caller. I have to do the reverse. I add the Skype caller first, and then the landline phone.
That's weird. Luckily, you know, I didn't upgrade. And it was because you warned me, because I was on the show, I think the same day the upgrade happened, and you guys said, don't upgrade. So I didn't. So I'm still on 7, luckily.
You can get 7 if you do a Google search for it. Mm-hmm. On the Windows platform, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm on a Mac. So, yeah. So and of course, I just like you guys, I use it for my podcast and everything, so I live and die by it, and I don't want to lose any functionality. So yeah, luckily I'm still on 7 until I get the okay from you, because I know you're a tech guru. I'm going to stick with 7.
You will be glad to know, though, that I'm coming really into the 21st century because, let's see, last year I got a tablet. And this year, I got for Christmas, I got a new set of headphones. I got a Roku stick. I even got an electric toothbrush, a new electric toothbrush, and because my old one was dying. And I just the other day got my first iPhone. Yes, indeed. I've joined the ranks of people with. I've never had a smartphone until just a couple of days ago.
Well, when are you giving up the tube radio?
Never.
You know, up until a few years ago, before my finances hit the skids, I had a very or a modestly elaborate audio system with a tube preamplifier, all tubes.
Oh, wow.
All right?
Oh, wow.
This is like 2005 or 2006, and I was helping out a relative, and he needed the money yesterday. So I decided, you know, I'm not really listening to this anymore. I'm just watching TV or I'm working on my Mac. So I sold everything for several thousand dollars and raised the money. Of course, I never got paid back, so that's a sticking point. I had this beautiful set of what they call ribbon loudspeakers, like 6 feet high and piano black, flat panel speakers.
Oh, there you go.
Right? And this humongous amplifier with like 400 watts a channel, you know? You don't want to hear about my electric bill.
Yeah. The old days. Oh, God. Yeah, I would imagine. I would imagine. Well, I don't have a tube radio, but what I do have is one of those delightfully corny, it's an Emerson product. It's a radio CD player that's in, you know, like a 1920s style wood type of box looking thing, so that it looks like an old time radio. In fact, I've used it in my films, you know, and other little projects where you put in like an old radio show, The Shadow or something, you know, and it just looks like you're in the 20s, you know, listening to, or the 30s or whatever, listening to The Shadow on your old timey radio. But of course, it's modern technology. It's not quite like a tube radio.
We're going to get off the technology in 1 second here. I just want to mention one other company here. It's called Crosley. And it's an old line name, but they make combo players, record player.
Retro stuff, right.
Really retro. Yeah. Like they have here the Musician Entertainment Center with Bluetooth. And you look at it, it's from the 1940s. But it has the CD player. Okay. It has the record player. It has the AM/FM radio.
I might have mentioned it when we've talked retro tech in the past, but in case I didn't, the first time I remember our family getting a new TV, I was 6 years old, 6 or 7 years old, and we got one of those Magnavox console jobs. You remember those. They're in the – Alejandro probably doesn't, but because I – when we got one, but it had the picture tube was round on the sides, you know, kind of flattened on the tops, and it was a green glass. I remember that, and it was still curved. And on one side you had a radio, on the other side you had the turntable. Remember those?
Oh yeah. Our first TV was, I think, a Sylvania or an RCA. It was a 21-inch TV.
Uh-huh.
And we got our first TV kind of late in the game. So when I was a kid, I'd go to my uncle's house to watch my favorite shows, to watch something like Captain Video and his Video Rangers on the old DuPont TV network. And the sad thing about those TV shows, they were done live, but nobody made a recording or a film or a kinescope, which is making a film off the TV screen. Nobody did that. So there are very, very few of those original episodes available anymore. Maybe two or three I saw. But this went on for several years. Every day it was like a TV science fiction serial show. Nothing left of it. Nothing was retained.
Man. They were smart enough in the following decade to, I think they kept everything in the 60s. You know, in the 70s and afterwards, of course, but they did not anticipate the nostalgia market back then, I guess. So
sorry guys, I think
covered TVs.
I haven't had much to add because this is all way before my time. I'm happy to say, and I'm like, you know, I always have, especially because I need to be compact. I always have the latest and greatest because luckily things get smaller and smaller and smaller, so which is wonderful. So I've got, I've been on the iPhone forever. I've got my little Macs, even TV, you know, it's all streaming. So,
Let's do our break. We've got Walter Bosley, who's been there and done that. We have Alejandro Rojas is still getting there. and Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hi, Peter Porcaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Do you have any of these symptoms? Night cramps in the hands and feet. Your arms and legs often go to sleep. On short walks, do your legs get aches and pains? Is your memory worse than it used to be? Ankles that swell late in the day? Has your blood pressure increased lately? If you answered yes to even one of these questions, you may have early warning signs of arterial blockages. Your body is saying that it is time to take Extendivite. These are not the normal signs of aging. They are the warning signs that accompany blocked arteries. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Enough of the retro technology. But I guess, you know, we can think here, if we have the opportunity, guys, to get exposed to alien technology and try to reverse engineer it, would we see any evidence of anything, or would it be so far beyond us it would be magic to us?
this last conversation makes me think, I wonder if they do come here, they see our technology, and then they begin to market it to their people because of a nostalgia thing. Look at this old human technology. Look at these cute little devices, and you know, it becomes a whole industry out there.
Yes, the Ferengi are selling it.
Right.
No, that's... I don't know. I do think it depends, because it depends on the level of their civilization. You know where I'm coming from. I don't think that every ET that we encounter out there is going to be some ultra advanced 1,000, 10,000, or 20,000 years ahead of us, and they're oh so moral. I think what we're going to encounter are all sorts of different levels of civilizations. We're all sorts of different levels of morality and ethics. So I think it depends. There's probably a civilization out there that's, you know, or more than one, that's very close to us, that might just be just a little ahead of us and able to get here, so to speak. So in my opinion, it depends on who you're dealing with.
Yeah, you know, there are so many scenarios out there. And of course, I'm sure you're both big sci-fi fans, just like I am. And, you know, I always think about, it could be, for example, maybe there are many civilizations, kind of to your point, that are at a certain level, and they are aware of each other and maybe even observing us, but we aren't at a level where we can detect them. But then there are others that are not so far beyond us, that we would be able to understand their technology if we were able to retrieve it. I've heard of people with this idea that perhaps some of the probes or some things that we may be observing are not really maybe thousands of years ahead of us, but maybe hundreds or even maybe dozens, because we're already talking about sending these little solar devices to Alpha Centauri to go observe. So it's possible, you know, there could be technologies that are not necessarily that advanced beyond our own that we could one day get a hold of.
Well, you see, we also look at advanced technology like Star Trek.
Okay.
But we've already brought to bear things like a communicator, our iPhone, which is also does the remote computing system that keeps tabs on things.
Yeah.
Right.
And 20 years ago, even as much as 20 years ago, the iPhone would have been like, what the heck? I mean, this is extraordinary if we would have found one of those, you know, 20 years ago.
Right, but I'm saying here Star Trek technology goes back to the 60s in terms of our vision of the 23rd century, okay? And you look at that stuff, and you think a lot of that we've kind of already done or are starting to do. Scientists are looking into the possibilities of warp drive or matter transporters and such. And, you know, they may in the 23rd century do things we can't even dream of. On the other hand, when you look at the Star Wars movies, you notice one thing, one flaw you see in the Star Wars universe, and that is nobody ever invents anything. They're just redoing these planet destroyers. All their technology seems to be a constant that has always existed, and there's no mad scientist somewhere in a little room coming out with something new.
Well, that's the writers in ours.
Yeah, of course.
But a lot of the fan fiction based around all of that stuff, or some of the backstories, include that sort of thing. There are these corporations that develop this and that. For example, Boba Fett with Star Wars. He's from a culture where they create a lot of the spaceships that are used in the Star Wars universe. And, you know, they're warriors, so they build war machines and stuff. So they do have backstories of these ideas of the technology being developed. But what's fun about that is that, you know, they also have these stories of like the Millennium Falcon or something like that, which are like ancient technologies. So this is like an ancient spaceship that they're able to brush off and get working again. But it's still because, you know, it's so far in the future and you're dealing with these large amounts of time. The technology is not that outclassed, even though it's something that's very old. It's kind of a fun concept.
Right. It could be, too, that in their world they have this military-industrial complex that just wants to keep everybody down, you know, and buying only their technology. But that's cool that the, you know, the fan writers have thought of that because, you know, in our world, or in reality, you always have somebody you know, working on something new. But then again, consider that, look how many years we've been using the combustion engine. Now, of course, it has greatly advanced since the days of, you know, the before the Model T days and what you have now, you know, your top racing engine. But still, it's the same basic technology. And I think that's what's going to happen, you know, with us, you know, in the future, and particularly the space technology. Once they hit on the thing that, you know, you can get from here to Mars in a couple of days or whatever, you know, once they hit on something, we're going to be using that for a long time, just because the smart thing to do is to bring commerce into it, because if somebody's making money, it'll happen. And, you know, if that works, why replace it? You know, let's squeeze as much money out of this as we can for the next five centuries. I really think that the history of the combustion engine and us with automobiles is kind of a precursor to how it's going to be with spacecraft, really.
So the improvements will not be the fundamental technology, warp drive or whatever. It's going to be around the edges. So the basic technology of the internal combustion engine or diesel engine, they go back decades. What we see now is just working around the edges to make them cleaner, more efficient, and add infotainment junk.
Yeah, and to keep people driving the things and to keep, you know, it keeps industry going. You know, in other words, it works well enough so people are happy with it. Right now, people are happy with getting in their cars and driving, you know, from San Diego to L.A. or driving into work every day, and or people in, you know, eastern cities, you know, with the trains and stuff like that. If it works well enough, the masses tend to say, oh, okay, that's good enough. So when the day comes that, you know, the average person is going to be dealing with space travel, I'm not saying it's going to be rockets, but what I'm saying is whatever they hit on that is the economic viable, we can use this every day and make our money providing this service, blah, 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 whatever, I think whatever they hit on, yeah, I think we'll use that, whatever it is, for quite a while, because if it works, you know, that's what they'll use.
Well, and that's kind of where we are right now, which is interesting. I mean, we had the Apollo program, and then we moved on to the shuttle, which in some ways was not too terribly more advanced. And then now we're going back. I mean, they literally had to brush off some of that technology from the Apollo program and relearn how to do some of those things when they started the Orion project to go to Mars, because now we need big rockets again to push these capsules into space. So it's an example of that.
Let's do our break. We'll continue with this. Mm-hmm. More with Gene, Alejandro, and Walter. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP. As slim as possible.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771, 800-831-0771, or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we have to basically relearn what we learned in 1969 and figure out how to do it again, except at a cost of a million times more money.
You perhaps could argue that when it comes to NASA, but not when it comes to the commercial or private space. And that's what's exciting about private space industry is that and why people didn't think it would be possible, that the numbers are astronomical compared to the profit that could be made. But Elon Musk and others have been proving that, you know, they can do it economically. And that's what sparked up this whole industry. And now many people in the space that I've talked to in the industry talk about how this is really a race for Elon to be the first guy to shuttle people back and forth and to corner the market there. And kind of to your point earlier, it's not so much continuing developing a technology. It's developing a technology that is cheap, can ferret people back and forth, and that's what they'll stick with. And they'll ferret and make a bunch of money sending people back and forth for space tourism, but also for mining and all of these other things that people want to do.
And I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to bring it up because it's what popped into my head on the subject of what I'm going to bring up. One of the best ways, personally, I think that that we can force it to happen is when we do exactly what Alejandro is saying that Elon Musk and them want to do, and that's get the common person with access to space. That's how we're going to get this disclosure that everybody wants, because once we, you know, you, me, and Gene, and the listeners, you know, can buy a ticket and go up in space, whatever and whoever's up there, we now potentially have direct access to, and they can't hide that crap from us. You know, at that point. On the other hand, they might try to limit what access these private guys give because of that, but that's another issue entirely. But that's why it's so important for these guys to be doing this, because that's what we need to answer our questions about what and who's out there. Is we just got to quit trying to go through official sources or one or two people. You know, we've all got to be able to get up there ourselves and see for ourselves. And again, that's why it's so important that these private guys do this, I think.
Well, I'm wondering here also with this latest stuff about the quote-unquote secret Pentagon UFO study, where it was outsourced to Robert Bigelow, and people are looking at it now like it's some real special thing, and I have my doubts. It's already starting to kind of fade after the initial excitement. Now, you have an intelligence background, so we're looking at this guy, Elizondo, as some kind of whistleblower. What's your feeling?
Okay. I know I grumble out there. I make jokes. I make comments. But here's really the serious issue that I have with this is I don't have a conceptual problem with, let's say this is some plan for disclosing to the public, you know, that they know and are encountering ETs and stuff. The problem I'm having with it is how it's being done. Now, Elizondo, I sincerely doubt he's going to lie about, you know, having worked for the agency and, you know, the problem is, and I just watched one of the appearances he did on a news show that was linked in another form somewhere. Somebody sent it to me. And it just coming from my perspective, my professional perspective, the problem I have is even the extent with which he's talking about what they supposedly, allegedly did in this program. It seems like, to me, he's saying more than a secrecy agreement would allow. So therefore, that's why I have the impression that there's some type of perception management thing going on. And that even though he's no longer staff agency, he could be contract agency, kind of a discreet undercover contract. See, that's how that would work is, you know, he does his 20 or 30, whatever years he did as a staffer, and then he goes contract. That happens a lot in the CIA. Okay. So that's the issue I'm having as an intelligence guy. Okay. So yeah, that's probably a cynical view to a lot of people, but that's really, you know, going back to what I said initially, it's how this is being done that raises the red flags for me.
To what purpose?
To what purpose? What, a perception management thing?
Well, the perception management, where are we trying to move the perception? Just continue the meme that E.T. is here and now we have more evidence about it, or what?
Yeah, a couple of things, okay? And there's a spectrum. You know, and there's, of course, the extreme end of the spectrum. But on the non-extreme end of the spectrum, it could be that they just want to trickle out the disclosure, so to speak. So, yeah, they want to control how much of the real info is getting out there. So they'll do it in these little ways. And they just kind of want to do the soft approach because, you know, without beating a dead horse, going back to that old thing about the Brookings, blah, 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 it'll freak people out. Yeah, it probably will freak some people out, you know, a lot of people out, not everyone. So, you know, it could be they just want to trickle it out. The extreme end, people would point to the alleged, you know, deathbed confession of Wernher von Braun type of thing, where it's all just a big, they're going to use the whole alien meme as a big military-industrial complex ruse to do all this New World Order stuff, you know, whatever your favorite meme on that is. But that's the other extreme, that it could be that they're just using they want to use the alien threat idea to get everybody to buy off on how they want to govern the world and whatever. You know, I'm not the originator of that idea by any means, but it what I'm saying. There's a spectrum, I think, of what the possibilities are as to what they would be doing and why with a perception management issue. I would say more realistically that if that's what they're doing as far as disclosing ETs and what they know, then right now I say they're doing the trickle. They're trying to do the trickle strategy where they're just going to piecemeal it. But still, I think, to me, from my point of view, they're doing it very awkwardly, if that's what they're doing.
Well, we're also assuming there's a long-range plan here that maybe has existed for quite a while?
Possibly, sure. That's very possible. It all depends on how long they've known about these guys. You know, that's the thing. It all depends on how long, and we differ, you know, between us, you know, a bunch of people in how long we think they've known. You know, I say this long, you say that long, other people say, you know, and that's personal opinion. But, yeah, I would say there's been some type of plan. I don't think that a lot of people, here's my problem with these articles. There's a lot of people out there that are getting the impression that the government didn't start looking at UFOs until the year this particular program started, I think like 2005 or something.
Right.
And I've talked with people that are kind of new to the UFO thing, and they think, you know, oh, wow, they're finally looking at it. And, you know, all of us who are, you know, over 30 years old, you know, we know that they've been looking at it for decades. That part was nothing new. I think it was misleading the way it was put out there, or people were misled thinking that it was just, you know, 2005 that they started looking at this.
I think that's a good point. That's a point I've been trying to make with this whole thing, is a couple big points, and one of them is that not only is this not the first time that they've been investigating for years, but also they've claimed that when they stopped their investigations in 1969, they haven't done anything since or had an interest. And now this shows that was false, that we were not being told the truth.
Let's break it here and continue with that. We've got Walter, Alejandro, and Jean. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
If you talk your name, we'll hear you every single time.
Why are we getting killed like this?
I was not here. Got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Harsh.
Hey, he knew not to drink. We've made that clear to all of our kids, right?
No, not really.
Bill, if we don't tell them what we expect and why they shouldn't drink, how are they going to know?
Talk. They hear you. You can do it if you try. Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, so Alejandro was starting this riff about the impression that people might have that finally the government is investigating UFOs with this $22 million program, which is like, you know, the government spending the equivalent of 1/8 of 1 cent compared to their budget, and not really making such a deal of the fact that we had in the 40s, 50s, and 60s the various projects ending with Project Blue Book, that it was shut down in 1969, that they claimed at that point that that was the end of it. But obviously it wasn't, Alejandro, right?
Right, right. Luckily, Space.com did a story just like a couple days ago, and they included my quotes on that. So he included that point. So luckily, he felt it was Leonard David, who was a writer, felt it was a valid point and included that. And that was a great point. And here's some new information that I haven't even let out yet, but I will for the first time on the show. I luckily have been in regular contact in the last, especially in the last couple of days, with Lou Elizondo, because he was supposed to come and speak at our conference, and he's very excited to do it. However, he's got medical procedure around that same time, and it turned out he's not going to be able to be physically present, but will be doing an interview that will be presenting at the Congress. That will be on Saturday with him. And here's his motivation, and this speaks to what we're saying. He really wants to field everyone's questions, especially in the UFO arena, because he really wants to be open and above board. And he says he was inspired to come out because of all of these people who put their credibility and their on the line to talk about this stuff, and he was encouraged by that. So that's one of the points that he wants to make, and he also wants to be very open with people. But I get this sense, and he says, you know, he really did have to give up his career, sacrifice, you know, put on the line his reputation. But he felt so strongly that this information needed to be out that he did so. At the same time, he is not going to, nor does he want to. He's a patriot. He doesn't want to break any laws or say anything he's not supposed to say. But I do get the impression, I don't get the impression whatsoever that he's lying. I think over time, you'll be able to have him on your show. We'll all have a lot more access to him. And for any of the audience members who want to ask him questions, you can email them to me, because we're going to do this interview in the next couple of weeks. And so I'm going to collect some questions and hopefully get a lot of what people want to hear, ask him about it, so we could get as much in this interview as possible. He just does seem like a very genuine guy that way. He wanted to get it out that indeed they are taking UFOs seriously. And he wanted to join this particular group because there's scientists and engineers in this group, and they feel they've really discovered something. They feel that they have gained some real insight into the technology that's being used.
So instead of being maybe a contractor or a plant, he's a true believer?
He is. At this point, maybe I think it wouldn't be a stretch to say that. You know, we'll see to what extent he wants to go there. Essentially, he is a believer, at least in there's a true mystery here, that there's a technology being demonstrated that's beyond our own, and a technology that perhaps we can duplicate for the benefit of humanity.
Well, the technology, therefore, would require access to the spacecraft.
Not necessarily. They feel that they've been able to glean enough simply from observations. You know, some of these guys have spoken to that a bit. At least, you know, Hal Putoff, for example, speaks about, you know, possible ways to warp speed and do all of these other things. And, yeah, they feel they perhaps have gained enough simply from observation.
What do you think, Walter?
I just wanted to inject an unless, but I want to qualify that unless. I don't disagree that he's probably sincere about, you know, what he, I hate using the B word, but what he believes, you know, about ET and this subject in general. But as far as just being a guy who, you know, like many of us, you know, believe ET's out there and believe, you know, the UFO phenomenon is real, and he just wanted to get out there and interact and share this stuff, here's where the unless comes in. It's unless he is operational to some degree. There's different levels of operational. You can be, you know, deep undercover. You can be working under shallow cover. You can be not under any kind of shallow cover yourself, your true identity, but still operational. Now, when you are operational, okay, and you are interacting with people, and as part of that operational behavior, you are expressing what is the, we call it legend. It's the you know, your backstory, you know, oh, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, this is why I'm doing it. That's what you've created. And you build it around big, giant, fat nuggets of truth. Remember this, particularly if you're not under even shallow cover, if you're being yourself, but you're operational. When you're operational, it is very easy to be convincing that none of it is legend, none of it's made up, and it's just really you. This is sincere, because remember, in your mindset, you're operational. So it's not like you're some criminal telling a heinous lie to defraud somebody or to do something nefarious. You're operational. You're part of something that you believe in that, you know, is an important project or operation. So it's easier to be convincing. I mean, I've done it. I've worked at the various levels of what I'm talking about. And you, as you live that legend, that cover, it's a lot easier to be believable that, oh yeah, he's an up and up guy. Oh yeah, he's really sincere. So you gotta keep that in mind from the intelligence operative perspective. You know, what I see is the possibility that he's just doing his job well. And now let's step back. It doesn't mean that, the ET answer here isn't the truth necessarily. You guys know the camp I come from. I come from the camp that I put that in the small percentage of possibility, smaller than most people. But still, it's there. It's a possibility. And yeah, he could be telling the truth. You know, this could be to get stuff out. But if there's a possibility that he could be operational, and there is here, we, you know, we kind of have to hold ourselves and, you know, have that grain of salt there nearby, because nothing I've seen and nothing I've heard in a description about him and his sincerity and stuff. And I'm not demonizing him. You know, nothing I've seen tells me, oh, well, he's definitely not operational. There's no way he could be. And remember, again, when you are operational, your job is to convince people, you know, be convincing that you're not. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had people ask me directly, hey, were you doing this? Oh, no. Come on. You know.
That's really interesting insight, but there's another twist, and I'd love to hear your feedback on this, is that he is not alone. It's one thing if he was all by himself, like, let's say, a Bob Lazar or some of these other people who have come out.
Right.
But now he's with a group of guys. Now, given at least a couple of these guys also worked in intelligence, one in particular recently retired from the CIA. But some of the other people in the group, of course, are Hal Puthoff, who's been in, you know, this arena for a long time, Tom DeLong, Gary Nolan, another scientist. So do you think then he would be fooling this group of people as well? That would be part of his mission, so to speak? Or does that, to you, lend any more credibility to him?
Well, if that was his assignment, yes, he's doing that, if that's his assignment. Now, whether it's successful or not, you know, you'd have to ask those people. But here's the thing. A lot of people assume that, well, the guys who don't have the direct intelligence backgrounds or not the intelligence backgrounds, well, they're not intelligence. I got news for everybody, okay? For 3 years when I was at Wright-Patterson, I did this kind of thing through my whole career, but specifically while I was at Wright-Patterson, I would recruit people to work undercover operationally who had no connection to intelligence agencies. Okay? It was their specialty. It was what they had access to. It was the fact that they had a clearance. And I would recruit them to work undercover for me.
We got to do a break here. Walter, we got a break, and we'll continue with that, okay? All right. Walter Bosley, Alejandro Rojas, Gene Steinberg, you're in.
The Pair, a cast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Are you living your passion? Are you pumped to go to work because you get to talk about or work with or do the things that interest you the most? Is working, playing, and relaxing one and the same? As long as you're working for someone else, you'll never be living entirely true to yourself and your passion. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Let me show you how you can work around your current schedule, create the extra income so you can live your passion. Visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com. Radio.recordedvideo.com.
Hi, I'm Craig Sammet, Chief Clinical Officer from Anthem. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why the Anthem Foundation supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.